Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. There are 1.6 billion Muslims, and right now they are taking part in one of the fundamentals of their religion, one of the pillars of Islam, fasting.
The secret of fasting is to be a subject, is to be the subject of your own life.
I'm fasting for the sake of Allah. I'm not fasting for anybody else, I'm fasting for the sake of Allah.
During the month of Ramadan, Muslims spend more time at the mosque, not only a place of prayer and reflection, but one of community.
In a slightly different in focus, we'll be looking at Ramadan in the UK. Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar and is the Islamic month of fasting. Muslims fast for the sake of God, or Allah in Arabic. It becomes compulsory for Muslims to start fasting when they reach puberty, so long as they're healthy and have no disabilities or illnesses. Also exempt are pregnant women, those on their menstrual cycle, and women nursing their newborns. Compared to the solar calendar, the dates of Ramadan vary. This is because the Islamic calendar is a lunar one, as Sheikh Musawi, a scholar, explains.
In Islam, month starts when the meniscus is being sighted, the moon, this very small, the beginning of the moon. That meniscus, if it is sighted, then the month starts.
Every year, the month of Ramadan moves backwards by about 11 days. This year in the UK, it has hit the height of summer. The days are long, with Muslims fasting up to 17 and a half hours a day.
There are 2.9 million Muslims in the UK, and that number is set to double in less than two decades. In fact, in that time, the number of Muslims in the world will go up by 25%. So whether it's globally or in a country like the UK, the Muslim presence is and will be more significant than ever before, making months like Ramadan more significant as well.
For this reason, it's probably more important than ever before to understand this month. So what are the perceptions of the British public to Ramadan?
What do you know about Ramadan?
Well, it's a Muslim holy month. And yeah, I think it's kind of like a rolling month, so it's not fixed. And people fast from dusk to dawn. And yes, you can eat only night time.
As far as I'm concerned, it's that time of the year when you test yourself, basically test how can you go out without food, for instance. Maybe your will as well.
To be honest, I don't know a huge amount, but I know it's a religious festival where people fast, they give up certain things, and then they get together and they all can only eat at certain times. The only thing contact I've had with it was friends at university when we were working on projects and they couldn't eat or drink at the times where we were working really hard. But apart from that, I don't know a lot.
What do you know about what people do in Ramadan?
First of all, there's a lot of fasting. As to what I'm concerned, it's really family bonding as well, getting family together. And of course, understanding one's belief.
I know it's the holy month, which is obviously a time when Muslims, they fast. I spend a lot of the time in the mosque, in prayer, in meditation. And it's a time also where couples won't be together, is that correct?
Do you think the main reasons people fast are?
Don't really know much about that. Just know how they do it and pretty much what don't know what for.
Actually, everybody that we spoke to here knew what Ramadan was. Well, the basics at least. But is that enough? And should the British public know more? That's the question I pose to Professor Tariq Ramadan.
In your opinion, what is the British public's take on Ramadan? Do they know about it? Do they know enough about it? Do they know the right things about it?
The average, ordinary British citizen, they know that the Muslims are not eating and not drinking. But that's it, not more than that. And it's a family thing as well. So these are the superficial teachings about Rabbanim, but the spiritual meaning, the whole the ethical meaning, all what I was saying about the philosophy of life which is behind, they are not getting it very often because the Muslims are not talking about it.
The physical aspect of fasting is not eating or drinking from dawn until dusk, but the aim is a spiritual one. It is a time of spiritual reflection and worship, a time to focus on your inner self and your personal relationship with God.
Fasting is probably one of the most spiritual journey or act one can perform. And it's not ostentatious. It's not chauvinistic. It's not something that you could do with arrogance and pride. It's a very private matter. I could have eaten breakfast for all that you know. But in all honesty, I could only fast, and that would be a genuine fast.
It is, at the same time, a very personal experience, but also a very communal one. Muslims generally open fast in the early hours with their family and break fast together at the mosque. During the month of Ramadan, Muslims spend more time at the mosque, usually several hours before dusk, as they're nearing the end of their day's fast. They get away from the noisy city. But the mosque is not just a place for prayer and reflection, it's also a place for community. There are over 1,500 mosques like this one in the UK, and mosques are really the heart of a Muslim community. In the West, that community is vast and multicultural, which is reflected by the fact that at this centre alone there are programmes running in English, Urdu, Arabic and Persian. During Ramadan they get busier than ever before, as Muslims who fast try and centre themselves again.
When we are in Muslim, non-Muslim majority countries, when we are in the West, by essence, you have to come back not to the culture, but to the very essence. And it means here that you have to know why you are fasting. One, it's really a meditation. It's come back to yourself. And it's also in our consumerist society in the West to say something which is essential for any spiritual experience. Know yourself. Come back to yourself. And this is a philosophical message which is very needed in our industrialized society, in our modern times, where it's all about entertainment, forgetting yourself and forgetting the very essence of the very meaning of life.
At the mosque, worshippers also listen to daily sermons related to the essence and reasons for fasting. They pray together in congregation and they eat together when it's time to break fast. They also read the Quran.
There's a strong relationship between the Quran and the month of Ramadan. The Quran was sent down to the Holy Prophet in this month, and the blessings from reading from this holy book are multiplied in the month as well. It's said that reading one surah or chapter of the Quran in Ramadan is worth 10 times more than reading the same chapter in any other part of the year. For that reason, Muslims try to read the whole Quran during this month. There's 30 parts to the Quran and 30 days in the fasting month. So every day, Muslims will gather at the mosque to read one part of their holy book.
The month of Ramadan has got its importance because Allah mentioned in Quran that this month is the month in which the Quran is revealed. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. So it is Allah's designation that this month is the month where or when the Quran will be revealed, and also it is the month in which Muslims must fast. Allah did not say that people should fast any month in the year. No, He has said that it is only the month of Ramadan for an importance which is best known to Him. It is a holy month, and He knows the details and everything about the reasons why it is a holy month.
And of course, man has been trying to, you know, understand those reasons.
As much as we can.
There are different levels of fasting. There is the normal level where you don't eat and drink. There's the medium level where you don't eat and drink, and you also refrain your tongue and your eyes and your ears from doing bad. And there is the highest stage of fasting, where every limb of your body is also involved in fasting. Your thought processes, your hands, your legs, your skin, your heart, your mind, everything is fasting. It's in sync with what you're doing, and that is becoming closer to Allah.
Ajmal Masrool is a politically active and well-known imam in the UK. In association with Britain's National Health Service, he has published the Ramadan Health Guide, because he found that although Ramadan is a spiritual experience, some Muslims were not taking care of the physical aspect that tied into that.
In the month of Ramadan, we know from the Department of Health and National Health Services data, more Muslims had entered into NHS care or go to doctors because of not understanding the significance of the health impact and how to prepare for it. So I, with some of my doctor friends, came together and wrote a booklet on Ramadan, a health guide. And we got the NHS and the Department of Health originally to endorse the product or the project itself. The basic message given in it is your body has a right over you. Your mind has a right over you. And of course, if you're fasting, don't forget to give the right to your body.
The booklet explains probably the key question that people have about fasting. Is it good or bad for your health?
In fact, in some parts of the world, medical doctors prescribe fasting for people who have stomach ailments or issues to do with their blocked up digestive system. They've either eaten too much or they've abused it for too long. There has to be a cleansing process. Fasting does that. It breaks down your fat deposits in many ways because you've been accumulating this by eating so much, only if you eat less. So that concept of wholesomeness is realized in this booklet. We try and encourage people to go back to the sunnah, eat and drink well, but don't waste. Eat and drink wholesome food, because that's what Quran says. So our idea of having milk, honey, dates, they're all prophetic.
At the start of 2011, the number of people becoming Muslim surpassed 100,000. Last year alone, 5,200 people embraced Islam. It's a number that has doubled over the last decade, and it's a number that is set to continue to rise. British converts to Islam have a unique experience of Ramadan compared to their counterparts who may have been fasting since they were kids. We met with Angie, now called Anisa, to get her perspective.
This is my third fast. My first fast was when I just, like a couple of months after I had taken my Shahada. I knew nothing about it, I just knew it was one of the five pillars of Islam. My second fast, I knew a little bit more about it, but I still did it because it was one of the five pillars of Islam, but I was learning about Islam. And this fast, as far as I'm concerned, is my proper fast since coming to Islam, because I understand a lot more. I understand why I'm fasting. I understand, I've learnt about the month of Ramadan.
Anisa's general progression to what she calls her proper fast reminds me of Ajmal Masrool's comments about different levels of fasting. Anisa's deeper understanding of her fast, beyond just a religious obligation, has gained her an insight and satisfaction she hadn't felt before.
Alhamdulillah, I enjoy fasting, and because I know that I'm fasting for the sake of Allah. I'm not fasting for anybody else, I'm fasting for the sake of Allah. So I don't particularly care. You know, you have some people who say, oh, how can you do this and how can you do that? But I'm doing it purely for the sake of Allah. And Allah's the one who gets me through it. A lot calmer, a lot more tranquil, because most of the time I'm dhikring Allah, so I'd be a lot quieter. Just being remembrance of Allah. And also, you know what, fasting, it makes you be like, I'm here and I'm preparing food for iftar. You know, you think about those who don't have any food. You have to say, Alhamdulillah, you know, Allah's put me in a position where I'm not one of those who is starving, who doesn't have water to drink or food in abundance. What's going on there? Food in abundance to eat. You know, that's what Ramadan, it makes you be mindful of that. When people say to you, oh, how can you fast throughout the whole day? What, no food, no drink, no water, no nothing? Then you have to say, my reply usually is, yeah, but there's thousands and millions of people out there who don't have no water day after day after day.
Wow. Have you guys been fasting?
Yes.
Oh, and has it been hard?
A little bit.
A little bit. And what time do you fast from?
From when I wake up, and then I eat, and then I start fasting.
Okay. And then do you fast for the whole day?
I fast until I'm hungry.
Okay. And how long does that take usually?
Maybe 6-7 hours.
And is it hard for you to fast?
Not that much, no.
No. And what does it feel like?
It just feels like I haven't ate for a while, but I don't feel hungry that much.
Anissa's change in religion got me thinking about the different faiths in the world and whether there's a universal idea of fasting that unites us. I'm going to talk to Julian Bond of the Christian Muslim Forum to ask him more on this subject.
One of the most famous fasts in my Christian tradition is Jesus fasting for 40 days in the wilderness after his baptism. So it's been very much a part of Christian tradition for about 2,000 years. Although Christians don't fast as much as they used to, and not as much as Muslims, but we do have it in common.
Ramadan is a universal phenomenon from Eastern to Western culture. Christians look at Jesus' 40-day fast in the wilderness as he prayed to be shown his mission. Jews take part in the Yom Kippur fast, the Day of Atonement. This Day of Atonement is the holiest in their year.
Well, I think the thing which is central to fasting is that it's not just doing without food, but it's a change from what's normal and breaking up the usual routine and the chance to be distracted from being in touch with God.
We need the month of Ramadan to remember that we are one ummah, to cooperate, to coordinate with each other, to support each other, to live unitedly. And this is a very important and crucial need for all Muslims. In fact, the month of Ramadan is required not only by Muslims, it is required by all human beings. Because the problems that all the human society is facing is similar. So we see that those who fast, even if they are non-Muslims, they feel more for the poor people. Those who fast, they feel more for the social justice. Those who fast, they feel more for the political justice. So the month of Ramadan and fasting itself is something required in this time more than any other time.
Another dynamic part of the Muslim community in Britain is the young generation. British-born and British-raised, they have a distinct Muslim and Western identity. They are robustly involved in Ramadan and the dialogue and spiritual journey that comes with it. There are many talks and events catered specifically for them in this month as well.
There are several hundred young British Muslims here at this English programme in northwest London. In fact, programmes like this are probably taking place in their hundreds right across the country. People here are young, mainly British-born Muslims who are fasting, who've gathered here together to get more out of this month.
The English-speaking imam here is actually talking about death, a grim subject, but actually, he says, very relevant to the month of Ramadan. As we reassess our life and path and significance, our end point suddenly gets put into perspective. And like I've heard over and over, he tells his young audience that fasting is not just about food and drink.
What type of fasting is this? Is it the abstinence from the food and drink that the Holy Prophet is talking about? Or is it really discovering the philosophy and the ethos behind the action of Siyam? Because majority of us, when we look at fasting, we look at it superficially. We observe this act of devotion only at the surface level. And that's why you're
finding... One of the listeners at the event is Mortaza. He's 25 years old and has been brought up in London. We met up at Regent's Park, next to the UK's main mosque, to talk more about what it means to be young, British and Muslim.
How important is Ramadan for really actually a young British Muslim population?
I feel that it's quite important for because what we're exposed to in the West is quite different to what Muslims are exposed to in the Middle East or in the East, as they have cultural traditions there, and the difference of cultures here is, you know, very big. And it's very important because, again, as I mentioned, it gives you practice or training, should I say, for a young Muslim to practice in himself self-constraint in many ways, like from respecting parents to respecting even youngers to even his own needs.
Does what you take out of this month change every year depending on what part of your life you're in, or is it kind of like you go back to the same thing every year?
No, it's different for me every year because I feel in a different spiritual stage, should I say. Like every year would be in a different stage, where one year I might be praying. When I was younger, I might have been praying for a PlayStation or something, where now I pray to God for strength, courage, patience and guidance. So there is a difference.
It seems it's become a much more personal experience for you.
Yeah, definitely. It's more of a personal relationship with me and my God. So.
For Muslims, Ramadan is a month that has been ordained by God. Its essence comes from that fact. They fast a lifetime and continue that path of growth until their very last Ramadan. It's a journey, not just of 30 days, but of life. A life given by God and a journey that ultimately ends with Him. Fasting is more than just refraining from food and water. It's about overcoming a physical plane to reach a spiritual one. That's a message that I've heard from the young and their elders, from new Muslims and old.
What is the essence of fasting?
Doing it solely for the worship of Allah, solely for the cause of Allah. That's the most important aspect. Solely for the cause of Allah, not doing it for anybody else.
The secret of fasting is to be a subject, is to be the subject of your own life. It's for you to decide. It's autonomy, it's intelligence, it's intellect, and it's decision, it's effort, it's struggle, it's to strive. All these dimensions are not known as something which is the very essence of Islam.
Every year, for me, it's like, I feel like I'm lucky to be alive in the month of Ramadan. Like, I always pray to be alive in the next month, like, to gain, you know, this is the month of mercy, where God is most forgiving, and we also need to practice like forgiveness within our own communities, our own families. And for me, it's I've always learned like practicing on my anger, for example, a small thing, but as every year goes by, my anger improves, like control of my anger improves.
Ramadan is a school, so go to school for 1 month to apply the teachings you got during this month in your daily life. In the year after the month.